I do thank you, Lord,
for your grace, for your loving kindness. We thank you, Lord, for the power that lives within us. Thank you, Lord, for the Lamb that was slain for each one of us. We thank you, Father God, for your mercies that are new every day, your immeasurable love, and your justice. Will not the God of all the earth do rightly? Lord, we trust you. We rely on you. And Lord, we want to delight ourselves in you. So Lord, we ask that you would do a work that only you can do. We pray, Lord God, for your word. We pray that your Holy Spirit will be our teacher and guide and revealer of truth. Lord, that you would have your way. Lord, that man would not, or flesh and blood would not hinder nor get in the way of what you want to communicate tonight. We thank you, Father God, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for these Psalms that we've been looking at through the life of David, and some are anonymous. We don't know who wrote them, but we know you are the author of this book, Lord. And so, God, we know that it is from you and it's of you, and all things are through you. So, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for all that you've done and all that you will do, for the work that you will complete, because you have committed yourself to us, Lord. So, Lord, we just commit ourselves to you now. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. So we've been looking at Psalm 140, which we started last week. I titled the message, Confidence in God's Victory. Confidence in God's Victory. I don't just mean the cross. We know that when Jesus was on the cross, he said, it is finished. Tetelestai in the Greek was one of the last things that he said on the cross. And that finished work was not just the work of redemption, but it was the work of sanctification. It was the work of glorification. It was a work that he saw through all the way till the end. There's nothing the Lord doesn't know. You know, I think about these things and I started thinking, like, how do you explain that? Like, God knows every thought, every action, every deed, like everything until the rest of our lives. And so people think, well, you know, then what's it matter? You know, what's it matter what we do? What's it matter if we serve him, if we love him, if we walk with him? If he saved us, then he saved us, then we don't have to do nothing. Then we can just sit back. Then you don't read your Bible. Then you don't know really what the Lord is all about. God is always drawing us. No man comes to the Father lest he's being drawn. And as God draws us, we come to a place in our mind, in our heart, where we want to please the Lord. When I was young, you know, my dad disciplined me with the rod. He not used the rod. His hand was harder than a rod, I used to think. I truly believe. But he raised me old school. And so as you're growing older, as you're an adolescent, you're trying to avoid that confrontation because of fear of what's going to happen. I think sometimes we come into Christianity like that. We think, you know, God's going to discipline us at any time. He's going to punish us. And we like walk on eggshells because we don't know any better. But as we mature, as we get older, as I get older, I get to the place where, no, I love that man. I'm grateful for his discipline. I'm glad that he set me straight. Because if he didn't, I would be still running with the devil. And so then you get to the place where you want to be obedient because of love. And that's where the Lord is drawing us. And the same thing in our Christianity. We enter into a place where we're no longer under pressure, I might say, you know, to be obedient, but we know that we have a freedom, but that freedom isn't to run in the opposite direction. It's to run towards him, not from him. And so as we're running towards him, God begins to do a work, and as he begins to work in our lives, it becomes easier to just let ourselves go and let the Lord show us where he's leading us. And we can submit to that. That's delighting ourselves in the Lord. That's saying, God, you know what's best for me. I know God knows what's best. Again, I use myself all the time, and I say, I never would have, if God asked me when I was first saved, what do you want to do with life, Donna? I'd say, well, I just want to keep living the life I live, but I want you to be a part of it. And I want you to come alongside me. And I want you to be there when I need you. That's what I would have said. And the Lord sits in the heavens and he... because he's already seen where I end up. He's already seen it. And so the fearfulness of me not wanting to speak in front of people or being shy and just wanting to stay in the background, the Lord already seen it in fruition. I'm in the first ministry that I joined. They had a mime ministry. I thought, this is good. I don't have to speak, right? Paint your face white, put on white gloves, black shirt. I don't have to say a word. I'm thinking, I'm going to carry the boombox, right? I'm going to play the music. I'm going to turn it on. And then, because you got to have music, because everything's acted out to music. And I thought, that's going to be my place. So I volunteer. I say, yeah, that's a good idea. I go to the first meeting, and we're sitting there. And then we're talking about different skits that they're going to do. And I'm thinking, yeah, I can turn that right up when that comes on. I get this right down. And then they say, okay, now we're going to give all the parts. Who you think gets Jesus? I got to play Jesus in the crucifixion. I'm like, no, that wasn't the plan. But when I went forward, God already seen it. God already seen it. David's living his life. As he's living his life, he's learning to trust the Lord. David's life as the king went through far more things than we will ever endure or go through. But yet, his life becomes a picture of our lives and our relationship with the Lord. And just as David trusted the Lord and he relied on him and he gave his life to him, we do the same thing. It may be little things in our lives. It may be greater things. We're not going to have King Saul chasing us, but I wonder how many times we've had somebody after us or we felt like somebody misunderstood us. And they just came against us and attacked us. I remember being at the church in New Bedford. They decided, the church got together, they decided he makes too much money. They decided how much money I made. And they said, it was part-time. And they said, he makes too much money. And they said, we're going to have a meeting. You know what happens when the Baptists have a meeting? Everybody comes out. The church was full. And everybody comes out, and they came attacking. I wasn't looking to defend myself or attack them in response. I was just, listen, this is what I do. Do whatever you got to do. I think that's where God wants us. God wants us in the place where even when the attacks come, even when the difficulties come, that we have confidence in God's victory. Not my victory. I don't have confidence in my victory. I don't have strength alone. I can't do it. I say it all the time. Christianity, it's not hard. What is it? Impossible. It's impossible. Anybody that thinks they can live out their Christianity, you are the most prideful person I know. No, you can't. Because, listen, the more we try, the more we what? We fail, right? The more I fail, the more discouraged I get. The more discouraged I get to the place where I'm like, why bother? And the Lord says, all right, now I got something to work with. All right. Now here's where we're going to go. And when the Lord said it's finished, I see that as it's finished. Amen. It's finished. When the attacks come, when the difficulties come, when the phone call comes, when whatever it is that is unexpected, that goes against our grain, are we able to take a stand in the truth of God's word? Are we learning to trust the Lord no matter the situation? Psalm 140, I want to read what we covered last week. He says, "Rescue me, O Lord," verse 1, "from evil men. Preserve me from the violent men who devise evil things in their hearts. They continually stir up wars. They sharpen their tongues as a serpent. Poison of a viper is under their lips. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men who have purposed to trip up my feet. The proud have hidden a trap for me in cords, and they have spread a net by the wayside. They have set snares for me." I mean, David's saying, listen, they're all around me. Whichever way they can get at me, they're going to get at me. But what does David do? David goes to the Lord. David can't fight these battles. David wants to see it coming. I told you last week, I want to see it coming. I want to see when somebody comes in that ends up causing more division than unity. I want to be able to see that ahead of time and take them aside and say, hey, you know what? Maybe this isn't the place for you. It's not for everybody. I wish it was. I really do. But it's not. God gave us unity. Unity. It's man that messes it up. You know, the church, when it started, it was pure. It was undefiled. Listen, they weren't perfect. I mean, they were dysfunctional people, don't get me wrong. But the church itself, it wasn't an organization. It was called an organism. They got together for one purpose, to seek the Lord. Right. Churches today, I mean, look at some of these mega churches. It's entertainment center. It's insane. I told you a while ago, the video I seen, it was around the Super Bowl last year, and they were kicking a Bible. And so attacks came against the ministry, and the pastor says, it wasn't a Bible. It was just shape and look like a Bible, but it had foam in it. It wasn't actually the real Bible. You think that's okay? Like, he's defending it. I can't go there. If I was Italian, huh? Instead, I'm French. I just beat myself up. Confidence in God's victory. For every battle. Confidence in God's victory in the battles that we lose. God's victory. I don't have confidence in me. I don't have confidence in you. My confidence is in the Lord. Do we see evil in the day and age we live in today? Mm-hmm. Turn your TV on? Mm-hmm. Listen to the news, it's there. There's evil. It's amazing. Unbelievers see the evil, but they won't give God glory. You can't have one without the other. Verse 6 and 7, he said, I said to the Lord, and I love this, you are my God. You're my God. Give ear, O Lord, to the voice of my supplications. And then he said, O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, you have covered my head in the day of battle. I just see that as the Lord putting that covering over each one of us, sheltering us, under his wings, keeping us safe and making sure nothing comes against us. But I think when it says the head, he's protecting our mind too. He's protecting the direction of our mind and where we're going. He's looking out for every aspect, every part of us. For us bald people, when you keep the head warm, the rest of the body is always warm. The head gets cold, you're freezing to death. That's just me because I'm old and I'm cold. Verse 8, he says, do not grant, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Do not promote his evil device that they not be exalted. He covered my head in battle. God's people face similar situations today. I looked at this last week. Satan's a murderer. He's a slanderer. He's an accuser. He's a deceiver. I like 2 Corinthians 11:3. It says, but I am afraid. I love this verse because it says, I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. You realize how many people can be deceived, especially in the day and age we live in today. I seen this video and it was all AI generated. And there were like five different people. Actually, there was one someone sent me before that. There was like four different pastors that said the exact same thing. And they said it was AI. I don't know if they got it from AI and they just repeated it or if they put it out that way. And then there was another one and all these people were speaking. You realize how easy it is if the devil uses the lie, but he uses truth and then incorporates a lie with it, how easy you can be deceived. How do we not be deceived? We stick to the simplicity and the devotion of Christ. We can argue over the Bible all day long. The Bible can be decisive. People can look at the Bible and say, well, you should be speaking in tongues. If you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. Well, okay. Well, you have to be baptized a certain way. If you weren't baptized into that church, then you're not saved. Okay. And we could come up with all these. It's got to be dispensation. You got to separate the Bible, and you got to be able to see that God treated this dispensation this way, this dispensation another way, this one another way. The book of Revelations, it was allegorical for the longest time. And then a man by the name of Darby came along, and he said, hey, no, this is literal. It's just John was struggling with things to describe. How do we look at it? Is it literal? Is it figurative? Is it allegorical? And so people divide over that. But if my eyes are on Jesus, there's no division in Christ. Amen. Jesus is Jesus. That's right. Let's just follow what the Lord says. Now here at Word of Life Church, we say the whole book from Genesis to Revelation is a revelation of Jesus. Amen. And so there's no division in that. Now, other people will come along and say, well, that's not preaching the Bible. Well, you don't preach on tithing. That's right, and I won't. But that's my personal preference. Because I've had preachers say that 70% of the Bible was on giving. I don't see that. I can't find it. But you can manipulate it and make it mean what you want it to mean. Why don't we just stick to what it says and go from there? And so if I'm looking at David's life as we are now, and we see what David is doing, and we see David's faith, what mattered to David? All these different divisive things that I just mentioned? Or that he had a king that was greater than him, that he worshiped, and that he loved, and that he trusted. Amen. And David had confidence in God's victory in his life. And so all these traps were set. All these things were there to trip David up. Did David not succeed? Did he not overcome? Did he not persevere? Did he not live it till the end? Yeah, it wasn't easy. God never said it would be easy. He never promised easy. Only Jesus can defeat the evil around us. Listen, we fight the enemy by standing. Standing. We don't run. We don't have to run to them, but we're not going to run from them. We're going to stand. I'm going to stand on the truth of God's word. I'm going to stand on the rock that is higher than I. I'm going to stand on the promises that he's already given, and I'm going to trust that he's going to see it through. Amen. And if I see that it's finished, and I know that the Lord already knows, how do I not accept it? How do I not accept it? And so when the attacks do come, and they will come, can we not say it's from the hand of God? God has one purpose. It's always the same purpose. It's always to draw us to Him. God doesn't bring things in your life to chase you away from Him. God's not going to discipline you so hard that you're just going to run in the other direction. That's not God's will. God's will is always for us to draw nearer, always for us to have a clearer understanding of what He's doing, and to fall deeper in love with Him. The more you know someone, the more you love someone, and the more you can trust them. I think that's where David was, and he knew that he could trust Him. He said, "You are my God." Listen, He's your God too, but He's my God. He's my Jesus. And lucky for you, there's enough of Him to go around, because I'm pretty selfish when it comes to Jesus. Faith discovers the Lord at such a time as strength, salvation, and protection. David just saw the Lord as a shield over him, and he could trust Him, and he could rely on Him. Verse 9, "As for the head of those who surround me, may the mischief of their lips cover them. May burning coals," I like this, "fall upon them. May they be cast into the fire, into the deep pits from which they cannot rise." David wasn't messing around in this prayer. Verse 11, "May a slander not be established in the earth, and may evil hunt the violent man speedily." Listen, he hopes their slanderous pattern of speech will entrap them and ruin them. Look at the next psalm, in Psalm 141, verse 10. It says, let the wicked fall into their own nets while I pass by safely. It says in Proverbs 28:10, "He who leads the upright astray is in an evil way will himself fall into his own pit, but the blameless will inherit good." That's the victory of God. That's the victory of God. That's what I think God does that for us every day. I truly do. We have no idea what God saves us from every day. We have no idea. There is an enemy, and the enemy would love to take us out, but he has no power over us because Christ is in us. Amen. Left to ourselves, we're done. We're done. Look what happened to Job. God said, "Do anything you want, but you can't take his life." How miserable was Job? It's interesting. Our enemies think they're hurting us, but in reality, they're hurting themselves. There's a law or a precept, if you will, that goes out through the Bible, and that is you will reap what you sow. You know, you sow in the flesh, you'll reap in the flesh. You sow in the spirit, you'll reap in the spirit. Right. It's that simple. It's not complicated. It's that simple. Where shall an exercised soul go in his affliction but to the throne of grace? You know what I love about the throne of grace? We go there not to bring a sacrifice, but to receive. The throne of grace is where you go to receive grace for the days. That's so good. This is true thanksgiving, even thanks living. They can do no more than the Lord permits them to do. And the more they rise in conceit, the higher let us rise in confidence. The greater the battle, the sweeter the victory. The sweeter the victory. When David was attacked by Saul, he would just pour his heart out in prayer to the Lord, entrusting Saul's punishment to God in heaven rather than taking it on with his own hands. Remember, twice he had the opportunity to take Saul's life, and he did not. It's interesting, under the new covenant, we're told not to return evil for evil in Romans 12:17. I believe David lived under the new covenant. I think David lived under the new covenant of grace. I truly believe that. How do you not see that? How do you not see him walking in the grace of God? when he said that burning coals would fall on them, reminiscent of God's judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah, Genesis 19, 24. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Let them be cast into the fire, David said. They have heated the furnace of slander seven times higher. Romans 19, 21, 19, 12, 19 to 21. It says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him a drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head." There you go. There you go. That'll do it. What do you need? You need some water, enemy? Is that what you need? You want my Twinkies? Okay, I'll give them to you gladly. They're no good for you. They're going to kill you anyway. Then he goes on to say, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Listen, in other words, don't let yourself become bitter. Don't get carried away with enmity and revenge. God will take care of things. Vengeance belongs to him. Turn the case over to him. Just trust God for it. God made it too simple, really. You know? And I'll tell you why. Because it's so simple, man wants to twist it up. You know, God gives us a straight line from us to him. And we go, yeah, but don't you think this would be a better way? Don't you think, but wouldn't this be okay if I went this way? Oh, this way. I mean, the grass is greener. I mean, let's go this way. And that's what we do. And the Lord's just waiting with open arms. And he's like, no, I paved the way. Just go that way. We want to make our own way. Jesus said, "I'm the way." We go, yeah, but isn't there more than one way? Shouldn't there be more than one way? Lord, could there be more than one way? He says, no, I'm the way. Okay, that's all I can say. Okay, I like this. The hunters would be hunted by their very evil. There is sure victory if we do not forsake the path of faith. 1 John 5:4, "For whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world." You want to overcome the world? This is the victory that overcomes the world. You got this? Even our faith. Period. Even our faith. Faith is a rest. Faith is an action. Faith is trusting. Faith is everything that pertains to us and our relationship with the Almighty. It's faith. Faith is supernatural. It's not natural. It's not tangible. You can't touch it. You can't see it. But it's powerful. It's powerful. You could be in the most dire situation, and faith lifts you above it. Faith is what puts us on the eagle's wings, where we fly high above, where we don't stumble and we don't fall. We run and we don't grow weary. That's faith. That's faith. Faith says, I understand that things are going to happen in my life that are not pleasant, but faith says I'm going to get through them. Faith is confidence in God's victory. That's faith. That's a beautiful thing. That's not trusting in self. That's trusting in the Lord. God has it, and we know he does. We know he does. Last two verses, and this is really where the message begins. No, I'm kidding. But verse 12 and 13, I love this. He says, I know. How about that? How about that? How many times you said that? I know. How do you know? Faith. I know by faith. How do you know God's going to deliver you out of this? I know. I tell you, when we started the ministry, a godly woman, precious saint, weeks into it, was diagnosed with cancer. Stage 4, right off the jump. And she passed in that following New Year's. Wasn't 8, 9 months, I don't even know. And she always used to say, it's a win-win. If the Lord takes me, I win. If he doesn't take me and heals me, I win. Amen. And she had that perspective the whole time. It's a win-win. That's confidence in God's victory. Amen. She knew at the end of the road, it was victorious.
That's right.
And I was there when she went to heaven. One of the best days of my life. It was absolutely amazing. Not for her husband, but it was amazing. Because we were literally praying around her bed. And she went to heaven. That was cool. It was, nah, it's not cool. When you see the hand of God that close, and you know that you know, and you can say, I know. I know. It's powerful. It's powerful. David said, I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and justice for the poor. Verse 13 says, surely the righteous will give thanks to your name. The upright will dwell in your presence. After all of that, God set a snare. I hope coals fall on their head. I hope they fall into the pit. I hope they're in the fire. I hope they never get out. God, I hope they fall into their own snare. I hope that you just, they're not, I hope. I know. He says, I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and justice for the poor. Surely the righteous will give thanks to your name. For all of that? No. Because the upright will dwell in your presence. Because the upright will dwell in your presence.
Amen.
Confidence in God's victory. What matters when you're truly sitting in God's presence? What matters? What ails you when you're truly sitting in God's presence? What's the struggle? When God raptures your soul. Your soul. Jesus said in Matthew 11 that he gave us rest in our soul. He said your body will have rest. No, my body's always tired. It's achy. It aggravates me. But it is what it is. Because I'm old and I'm cold. And that's just going to happen. But as we live our lives, it's like, but in my soul, I'm free. That's where my freedom is. That's where my rest is. That's where the power of God is. Listen, the only coals of fire that we can deal with are those of love and mercy, which we heap on the heads of our enemy. If our enemy gets saved or if God changes their heart, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We should never be in the place where it's like, I hope that person never gets saved. I've never said that. I hope everybody gets saved. Except the devil. I don't want the devil to be saved. I mean, some people are praying for salvation. I'd say give up now. Let it go. It's not going to happen. Listen, but the wicked will be, remember this. Remember this. Romans 2:5. It says, but because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath in revelation of the righteous judgment of God. That's what they're doing. There's an inner sanctuary where we shall be safe. It's in our soul. It's in our soul. The upright will dwell in your presence. Confidence in God's victory. When he says, I know, it's expressive of a present condition. It's a victory cry. Isn't that awesome? It's a victory cry. He says, I know, both by God's word, which hath promised it, and by my own experience of it in the course of God's providence. If God has brought delivery to your soul once before, can he not do it again? Has he not conquered our greatest enemy, which is death. We're not going to die. We just transition into eternity. He's conquered the sin factor where we'll never be judged for our sin. You ain't going to stand before the throne room of heaven and he's going to be bringing up your sin. It's not going to happen. It's paid for. In your flesh, that was crucified over 2,000 years ago with Jesus. Amen. So what's our problem? What's our problem? Our problem is the world that we allow in. You know, Jesus said to, the Lord said to Cain, sin is crouching at your door. It wants to come in. You should master it. Master it. You know how you master it? Keep your door closed. Don't let him in. Don't let him in. If a, I like the word robber. If a robber comes, you know, it's like they come with the. I grew up watching Batman, so I mean, they had robbers. Bang, boom, boom. They had robbers back then. And if the robber comes and he's trying to get in your house, you're going to defend it. What happens when sin comes crouching at your door? Do you have the same attitude? Fortitude? The same will to say no? That power is only coming from the Lord. Amen. They would dwell in his presence in peace. When you're truly in the presence of God, there's peace. I don't care what's going on around you. There's peace. There's peace. David was grateful to God for his intervention, and he determined to live to glorify the God of Israel. He wrote, "The Lord will accomplish that which concerns me." That's Psalm 138:8. The Lord will accomplish what concerns me. For God's devoted people, the best is yet to come. We're just passing through, church. Amen. We're just pitching a tent here, pitching our tent there. Eventually, we roll up our tent, take our pegs. We're going home. Amen. We're going home. Despite present trials, the righteous shall survive to give thanks to the Lord, and the upright shall dwell in his presence. Through the assault by the wicked, David put his trust in the Lord, gave all the desires for retribution unto him. His heart is free to find its true home, and his last words match the climax of which the whole scripture moves. In Revelation 22:3, his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. That's his presence. You shall see his face. As surely as God will slay the wicked, he will save the oppressed and fill their hearts and mouths with praise. I'll close with this. All through this psalm, the writer is bravely confident and speaks of things about which he had no doubt. He had no doubt. When tough times come, do we drop to our knees? Do we seek the Lord? Are we asking God to intervene? Absolutely. If it's his will, he will. If it's not his will, he won't. But I'll tell you what prayer is. It's a fellowship. It's communion with the Almighty, and it builds our faith and it builds our trust so that we're able to accept, not just expect, but accept what the Lord's will is. Amen. I don't know what God's will is for us. I don't know what God's will is for this church a year from now. I have no idea. I can't predict that. I know this. If our eyes are on Jesus, and we're confident in his victory, we're okay. We live in his presence. We live in his presence. And G. Campbell Morgan said this. He noted that Psalm 140 begins in great trouble and sorrow, but ends in praise and triumph. If sorrow is a certainty, so also is the action of Jehovah. Sorrow and darkness come to all men, all men. But only those who know God and are sure of him make suffering and the night occasions of triumph. You know why? Because they're confident in God's victory. Amen?
Amen?
Let's pray. Our Father God, we do thank you again, Lord, for just another psalm that you revealed more of Jesus to us, Lord. The upright will dwell in your presence. God, I pray that's where we wake up in the morning. That's where we live our time during the day. And when we lay down to go to sleep, Lord, it remains in your presence. That's simply God conscious. God's in control. God loves you. God cares for us. He's concerned about us. He wants to draw us closer to himself. He wants us to be pliable clay in the potter's hand so that he can mold us. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows what he's doing and he knows best. Lord, we thank you, God, that we can have confidence in your victories, in our lives, and we won't fail to give you all the glory and all the honor. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.